You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
My favorite operations and cleaning tool. Come on, everyone. You know what it is by now. It's Breezeway. It just got a whole lot better for Airbnb hosts.
Breezeway's platform has always helped hosts manage work like cleaning, maintenance, and inspections at their properties, but now their technology is integrated with Airbnb, which means you can connect your Airbnb reservation info with Breezeway, helping you save even more of your precious time, like automatically notifying your cleaners on a new reservation or changes to an existing reservation.
You can use Breezeway to schedule cleaning, inspections, and maintenance tasks using smart checklists and automated messaging to maintain a consistent guest experience.
Connect your Airbnb guest reviews with individual tasks in Breezeway. For example, fridge stopped working and the guest mentioned it in your review, a Breezeway maintenance task will help you make sure it gets fixed as soon as possible.
Respond to guest messages all in one platform. Hosts can now view and respond to Airbnb message threads within the Breezeway platform.
And that's not all. The Breezeway Guide is a personalized digital welcome book, and they also have Breezeway Assist, a 24-hour call service supplemented with Breezeway's AI-driven engine, are also connected through this Airbnb integration.
There are so many things that Breezeway can help you tackle, so check out Breezeway for yourself. TFE listeners will receive free implementation when you decide to make Breezeway a part of your hosting operational strategy, just like Annette and I have. Visit breezeway.io/TFE to learn more. That's breezeway.io/TFV. Hello, listeners. Welcome back for another great week. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. Let's kick off this episode like we do every week, and it's sharing one of you, our amazing hosts out there who are listening to the podcast and using our hashtag STR Share Sunday. If you use it, we'll find you. We'll share you here in the podcast and share you to our entire email list. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week, we are sharing at Trelita_cabin. I'm going to spell that for you. Trahlyta_cabin. And we have got to give them some love. Lauren has crushed it with this cabin. It's accessible. I want you to please go to her Instagram, go to her Airbnb listing. The accessibility features are amazing in this. And you don't see this very often, but it's accessibility features. And it says this info was provided by the host and reviewed by Airbnb. So I just want to give you kind of a laundry list here of all the accessibility features. Number one, accessible parking spot. Get the entrance and parking. Step-free paths, step-free guest entrances. She has the door frames are 32 inches and wider. Step-free access throughout the house. And then also the step-free access to the full bathroom. Grab bars in the bathroom. Step-free shower. I mean, she has like knocked this completely out of the park, and you can see it in some of the reviews. All of the guests being able to enjoy a lovely vacation here. But please follow her on Instagram, give her some love. But then as a course in accessibility, just go to her property and you can see how well it is woven in to the design. I will say that they did recently build this cabin. So I do understand that maybe they had in the build, they were thinking ahead. So this is something that listeners, if you are getting ready to build something and you have an architect working with you and you're thinking about servicing as many guests as possible and just really helping all enjoy travel, this is something to think about when you're designing your new space. And I just want to say, Lauren crushed this. And then also really quickly on their, what are these called? Highlights. She does a little bit of drone footage too. I know that if you have the opportunity to add any sort of drone footage to your property, people can get a really great feel, especially if you have some land and it's beautiful aerial photos. I think that also helps to tell the story of your property. So well done.
Love the work that you're doing out there to really make vacation special for anybody. I love that. Today on the show, we are interviewing Jesse Vasquez, who specializes in midterm rentals, but not from the standpoint of necessarily furnished finder or Zillow. He has made it his niche to develop relationships with agencies to help find places for people to stay in furnished rentals for 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, really longer period of time. My favorite thing about this interview was, yes, Jesse has these relationships, but how much he continues to nurture them and make sure that he is top of mind for the agencies at all times, which is just a great reminder of the beautiful thing about business is that it's never over. It's always a work in progress. And if you don't love that part of the journey, then you may not be, you know, business ownership may not be right for you. But he is just a lovely reminder of these relationships. You don't just start them and then that's it. You can like sit back and watch the money roll in. You really have to call these agencies, call your contacts, and remind them that you're there to serve them. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I am so excited to be here. I've been a big fan. And just so everybody gets context, I was emailing Annette probably like 2 or 3 years ago, and she never responded to me. She basically ghosted me. So
I did respond to you. I was like, can you reach back out? But I can safely say that you were talking about midterm rentals then. So I can say that you've been in the game for a while.
And Jesse, that's why, you know, Annette and I protect, and our listeners, I hope, know that we protect like the show in terms of who educates on a topic. If we don't feel that we are the experts in the space, we want to bring someone on, but it has to be someone who really knows it, because especially with midterm rentals, I think it's like this sexy talk. It's like, this is what's going to save you. It's midterm rentals. Boof, you're saved. You know, and as you know, because we watch your content, we hear what you have to say, that it is still going to be, surprise, surprise, a lot of work to be successful at it, but that it is an amazing lever that we can pull for furnished rentals in real estate. And we are just so excited to learn from you today. So Jesse, can you share a bit with our listeners who you are, and why they should trust you as an expert in midterm rentals?
Yeah. Well, again, thank you, ladies, for having me on here. I'm very grateful to be here. And yes, I was in midterm rentals before they were cool, Annette.
Yeah. No, you really were. Like, it was. And by the way, I'm pretty sure listeners also, because I know a lot of you reach out about being on the show. This actually, thank you for this, Jesse. A lot of people reach out about being on the show. And we just really have a lot of our content planned out. And I will say, Jesse reached out like pre-COVID about this topic. And if you haven't been on the show yet, it doesn't mean that you won't be. It's just we do tee things up. So I want to offer that to everybody out there that reaches out, some of them quite often, which we appreciate that. And we will get you on the show in due time. But yeah, take us back to then, because I think you were living in an Airstream that point in time too. I think you have an Airstream on your shirt. It's your logo. You got the notebook.
Yeah, we were just talking about how California I am earlier, and I literally have a California notebook and I'm wearing Airstream. So yeah, I've been in midterm rentals in this space since 2015, which is 100 bazillion years ago, which if you're good at math, I think that might be 8. And I just guessed right now. I'm not sure if that's actually accurate or not. But so I worked in healthcare for 17 years. And for me, I found a woman named Barbara. And for those of you who heard me on Bigger Pockets, if you haven't heard that episode 728, check it out, because I kind of go into the story, but I'll just give you a quick synopsis here, is that I was on a hospital floor back in 2015. And here in California, we just talked about this a minute ago. Everybody says dude and bro and man all the time. Literally everybody, even my mother, who's 77 years old and Hispanic. If you hear her say dude, it's the cutest thing ever on the planet. But I was in this dimly lit hospital room, and I had this clinician that I was working with, and she said things like, don't you know? And he's a doll, just like that, which is the most amazing accent ever. We don't hear that in California. I was drawn to her. So I asked her, I was like, well, what are you doing here? And she told me she was a travel nurse and that she was staying at a Motel 6, which was on 9th Street, which was like literally the worst potential place to stay. And I asked her how much she was paying, and she was paying $3,000 a month to stay in a Motel 6. This is before I owned any real estate. I was 33 at the time. And I realized that there was Barbaras all over the place. Not like the name Barbara, but there was these clinicians in every hospital that I was.
They're all over the place too.
Yeah, there's a lot of Barbaras. And she was the cutest. And she just basically told me that, hey, I'm a travel nurse. I'm spending all this money to stay in a crappy place. There's not any housing out here. And just to give you guys context, I live in a rural market. There's not a lot of people here, but there was a huge need for clinicians. In every hospital that I went into, I saw that there was an opportunity there. So I asked her what company she was working for. I asked her what agency she was working for. And she told me to connect with the HR department. And here's something I really wanted to kind of preface here. Have you guys ever watched a movie where you see a door open and then all of a sudden it's starting to close? And then all of a sudden it pans down to the bottom and you see a foot that stops it, literally stops the door from closing. That's how I got into the HR department of a hospital, right before the door closed, literally like 4 inches before the door closed. A nurse went in there. She had the badge to get in. I stuck my foot in. I went in there and there's a woman named Misty, and I remember her specifically. And she said to me, I asked her, I was like, hey, I want to house Barbara, who's on nurse telly floor 3. And she's a nurse on telly floor 3. And she's like, yeah, I know her. And I was like, okay, well, how do I start to connect with, you know, for housing for her? And she basically told me that here's the company they work with. Here's the recruiter. Here's the agency. And she let me know that ahead of time that they were on red alert. There was not enough clinicians to meet the demand for patients in this market. And these markets are all over the place. So that's when I realized that this was more of a national thing, not necessarily just a California thing. And I reached out to the agency. I got a contract. They were paying $4,500 a month. I bought my first property. I scrapped some cash together, bought a property for $320,000. My mortgage payment was $1,650 plus, I think, $200. So altogether, it was principal interest was $1,800. So I ended up making $2,000 a door in 2015 by housing travel medical professionals. And the agency actually rented my entire home for a year at $4,500. And back then, to make $2,000 on one door, it was freaking unheard of. So that was my origin story of seeing the need, seeing the opportunity in my market. And I think a lot of us have these opportunities. And we're just talking about the travel nursing industry. There's a whole lot of other industries. But for me to be able to see that, to pick it up, to understand it, and then to build on it, I think that we all collectively together in this space have these opportunities. It's just we're not necessarily looking for them. It's almost like where you think you're going to buy a car. I remember when I wanted to buy a Tesla. I'm trying to be cool right now so you guys know. Like, I was like, I want to get a Tesla. And all of a sudden, every vehicle that I see driving is a Tesla. Have you guys ever had that before? You're just like, I want to buy this or I want to get that. And then literally, you start to see it everywhere. And I think that after this podcast, that people will start looking at opportunities a different way. And just like we talked about the Tesla rating, you'll start seeing these opportunities literally right in front of you, but you have to start thinking about them. And energy and the universe will align in a certain way. And I truly believe that. So I guess that's a lot to unpack real quick, right?
Did Barbara ever actually get to stay in your house?
Barbara did stay 6 months later because she was in a con. She ended up going to another property, another place. So I talked to her right as she was getting ready to leave her assignment. And just so you guys know, every assignment is different. She ended up going to a town called Oakhurst, which is in the middle of nowhere. And then 6 months later, she came back to Modesto and she did stay at my property 6 months after her contract ended. But yeah, it was kind of cool. When I was working in the hospital, I'd have nurses that were staying at my property and I was walking the floors and be like, hey, you know, you have a leak in your bathroom. I'm like, well, where at? And then we'd seem like, it was funny, but it was also fun to be able to have that like experience.
I love it. So let's, just in case a listener is like, what's a midterm rental? You never know. So in your definition, Jesse, what makes something a midterm rental or a midterm stay?
My definition is 30 days or more. So if somebody's staying at your property for 30 days or more, it could be 3 months, it could be 6 months, it could be 9 months. Anything less than 1 year, I feel is a midterm rental. In fact, we have guests for 6 months, 9 months. Even I've had a guest that's been with me for 16 months already as a relocation claim. They're supposed to rebuild their home, ended up being a whole thing. But yeah, so there's a bunch of different ways to categorize midterm rentals. But for me, it's that after 30 days or more, that's what I would consider. And the traditional is like a year lease, right? It's anything less than a year is what I look at.
You got the foot in the door with this HR department. It sounds like it was at the hospital that you were working with. But what if you're someone, I'm not a medical professional. My house is currently on Airbnb is where I get most of my leads, but I need to start diversifying. What would be the next step for someone? Because I just envision if I start going to these HR departments, they're going to want me to commit and know that their nurses are potentially going to have a place. Now, do we have to give that much of a commitment that I, because I don't want to, tell them I've got place to stay and then they have nurses coming and I don't have places to stay. How would you recommend someone starts to diversify, or do they have to go all in?
Yeah, I think you really have to go all in. Well, first off, if your calendar is set at 2 days minimum and you have people, and you guys know this, you guys are short-term rental operators and you have random days in September, then all of a sudden you're closing the door for those 30-day opportunities. And you brought something up about Airbnb. There's a ton of leads that come on Airbnb. When I talk about agencies booking and connecting with these companies, the reason why I bring that up is because most travel nurses are very frugal. They get a stipend pay. Let's just say it's $5,000 a month. That's what it is in California. And they're not going to want to spend $5,000 a month on housing. So these agencies, they don't think like that. They'll actually pay the $5,000. They're wanting to connect with professional operators. They don't necessarily care too much. They do care about the financial aspect, but they want to make sure their clients are safe, comfortable, and near the hospital. So that's why I want to make sure that everybody understands that we're not going after the nurses. We're going after the companies, because that's what's going to supply us at a higher rate. But to answer your question, yeah, you need to commit. You need to just be like, this is what I'm going to do. Like for me, when I first did, because I have Airbnb properties too, I just committed to 6 months. So my calendar during peak season, I know that from April all the way to October, I can kick ass in the short-term space. And then from end of October to February, March, I'm slow season. So I'm going to just transition into midterm. And that's what's worked. And the great thing about that is any intuitive investor, you want to keep your highs up high, right? You don't want to have too many lows. It's like the stock market. You want to keep your peaks and valleys relatively high the entire year. And I felt for me, that was the best strategy that kept my income pretty even keel all year long.
And I think it's important to note, listeners, that, for example, right now, midterm rentals is a high topic in our team, because we're preparing right now, and we're in August, we're preparing for January in terms of our occupancy and who's going to stay in our properties. And so because we're a metro market, our booking window is much shorter than those who are in vacation rental markets. So for us, a midterm strategy, like Jesse just spoke about, is totally viable and it's possible, and it's a great way to hedge the slower season. Jesse, I'm sure because this is an area you focus on, when someone comes to you and they say, but I've got a property in Pigeon Forge or in Destin, or more of a vacation rental spot where vacation rentals are their bread and butter, it's a very different booking window than what we have here. Are midterm rentals an opportunity for them?
I don't think so. And the reason why I bring this up is because I had somebody in Tahoe, a student of mine, who picked a place up in Tahoe and tried it there. Granted, she did get a 3-month booking from an executive that was staying, but other than that, she leased or arbitraged a unit and literally didn't have any vacancy. I mean, excuse me, she had a ton of vacancy because she only was able to get one client. So yeah, I think that's difficult. If you're near the water or something, or like you're near like San Francisco where you have like digital nomads, people traveling, I think that's possible. But again, if you're in like Pigeon Forge or some of those areas, like it's probably going to be very difficult. And granted, again, going back to what I was saying earlier, you can be in a rural market, but then start to uncover the needs of these companies and these agencies. And I can go into detail about a recent contract that we got not too long ago with a winery, with a wine company. But yeah, there's ways to do this all over the place. You don't have to be in these big areas, but the markets you're talking about right now are, Sarah, those are hard to do in Pigeon Forge or even like, you know, Coachella or those, you know, those areas, because there's not very many people going out there. They're not staying for a duration of time.
Right. And I think it's important to let listeners know that not all of these strategies are going to work in every single property. So I wanted to be really clear about that. But that being said, dive into that example you just shared.
Yeah. So have you guys ever heard of Apothic Wine?
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys know that? Okay, cool. So that's bottled and brewed through Gallo Winery in Modesto, California. It's wine that everybody loves. It's like one of the number one selling wines, which I love, by the way. So there's a company called Gallo Winery, and I live in Modesto, which is an agriculture rich market. And my goal is to find companies that are large, just like Gallo, that employ people that come from other states, other countries even. So I reached out, just like I talked about the HR department earlier, I reached out to Gallo and I said, hey, do you guys have HR department? And they had a housing division there. And they basically told me that they have travelers that come for a certain amount of time, that they're staying for 3 months, 6 months, a month. It depends on where it's at. So they have these engineers that come work on their wine. They have people from other countries that come stay here for a certain amount of time to help with production of wine. And that's where I realized, okay, you don't have to be, you know, you can actually create these opportunities. And what we did is we have about 15 properties in this market right now. And they agreed to rent 5 of our properties from us. And they would give us a 3-month leeway and they would let us know when these folks were going to be coming. So just to give you guys an example, so they'll have, say, 3 engineers that are staying in a 3-bedroom house. My mortgage there is $2,000. They're paying $6,500 to have these folks stay at our property. And the reason being is because if all three of those people were in three different hotel rooms, and let's just say they're at the DoubleTree Hotel in Modesto, which is like the nicest hotel, it's $200, $220 a night for each person to have their own room. You do the math, that's $600 a night, what they're paying on average. 600 times 30. I mean, if you guys, who's good at math? Annette, Sarah, what
it'll
is
it'll be
that?
Almost 10,000, right?
No, sure. I think it could be way more than that.
27,000? 27,000.
Yeah.
18,000?
18. Yeah, I think 18,000.
18,000. Sorry. I just, give me a minute. I didn't have a calculator on me. I think it's 18,000.
We're like this. We're like 5, 6, 7. Yeah. So,
well, no, it's 18,000 because it'd be 6,000 for one. So 6, 12, 8. 18.
Yeah, there you go. See, you guys, we're not the best at math. You can be a really savvy real estate investor, but not necessarily know math. I had to actually go to you guys for that because I don't know the answer to it.
Yeah, thank you.
But what I'm showing you guys right now is that $18,000 is what this company would spend to have literally only three engineers staying in a place. And now with my property, they're only paying $6,000. If that goes to show you, like, I know everybody always talks about Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. They solve a billion problems, which means that's why they're so freaking rich. Now, if we can just scale that down and niche that down and solve problems for these companies and these agencies, we can now create a large business by literally finding these opportunities in our backyard. And again, what I mentioned earlier is that a lot of people aren't necessarily going to think about this until they hear this episode. And these light bulbs are going to go off and just like, holy smokes, I have this in my backyard, or I have this place, or I have that place. We all have those in our own markets. And there's people that come and stay for durations of time. And it's just connecting with them, creating relationships. And I think relationships these days, Sarah and Annette, are the new currency. Like, a relationship will make you so much more money than the dollar amount of like getting a booking today. You look at the long duration and build a long roadway of a business, it's through relationships. For me, that's what I've been able to build and leverage and continue to cultivate and create. And that's me now, just educating people on how to do this, you know, speaking to you guys. And
yeah, but I heard two things in there, because it's like, there's multiple people, these are contracts. So I'm like, wait a second, I probably need to have a different lease or a different contract. And I'm sure if I'm working with a company that has an HR department and a housing division, I need to dot my I's and cross my T's. And this house better be safe. It better be top notch. And I better have a rock solid contract with them. That those are when the light bulbs are going off, but there's like, I'm thinking of the work there. Am I correct in that? That I'm going to have to do my own sort of contracts with these companies, and I'm going to have to bring in my own attorney to look over. This isn't just like a quick, you know, they're booking online. There's signatures going back and forth.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's not as difficult as people think. A lot of times these companies will bring their own contracts. They'll come in and say, Annette, Sarah, here's what we have. You look at it. If this makes sense, then we just need a lease addendum or draft that you have on your end. We can all pick those up for free online right now. So you don't need to get crazy with it, but yes, you do need to have a place that is comfortable, safe. And one of the things that's happening right now is a lot of short-term rental operators are bringing that sexiness to the midterm rental space. And we're going to continue to see this. So you do need to have a place that is photographed well, which you guys already know how to do all this stuff already. But a lot of people listening to this might be using their iPhones to take pictures, or they're listing on Furnish Finder with like crappy photos. Right now is really the early time to start thinking about, what is my place going to look like? And if you guys go on Furnish Finder, which is a place for travel nurses look for properties or relocation companies, a lot of the properties look like crap on it. They're not photograph well, they don't look well. It's not like Airbnb, it's a totally different platform. But to answer your question, yes, you do need to put those things together. It's not as difficult as what you're thinking in your head right now. It's a lot more simple than that.
The relationships are not easy. Like you just said, I'm going to the word HR. Like I don't want to, no offense any listener if you're in HR, but you're cold calling. It sounds like you're cold calling potentially. This sounds like if a listener wants to do this, there is going to be some work involved in creating these relationships, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So just to give you guys an example, I used to work, when I say healthcare, I was in the back end of healthcare. I wasn't like a nurse on the floor or anything like that. So I worked in the business development side, which is a fancy way of saying sales. Sorry for all you business development management out there. My secret is out. So I was always good at sales. I was always good at communicating and connecting with people. It's just something that I was born with, but relationships are a lot easier than people think. I think that once you have a product, and this is when I say product, it's our home that we have, that we know that somebody can benefit from, and you truly feel that in yourself. Like I almost feel when I'm talking to these companies that it's almost a disservice if they're not working with me directly. And I think that's for me where I believe in what I sell. And a lot of times with sales, people sell things that they don't like or they don't believe in, which is why sales people get bad names. Like when you truly believe in what you're doing and how you operate, and you like exude that to other people, they feel it. They can understand it. So what I do, and this is some good context for everybody out there, is if you're going to connect with somebody in let's just say an HR department, find out who that company is, find out who works in the HR department, and just say, hey, do you mind if I can jump on a Zoom call with you for about 5 minutes? And if you don't mind sharing, this is going to sound weird, but just hang with me, who you're sitting next to and what your favorite Starbucks drinks are. And I can send you Starbucks tomorrow. We have this beautiful thing called DoorDash, right? We can do this anywhere. You don't have to be in the same area. And tomorrow at 11 a.m., I'll jump on a call with you. I'll order everybody Starbucks that's sitting next to you right now. And if you guys can just give me 5 minutes of your time to explain to you how I can help benefit your clients coming in. That one thing right there, nobody's ever done that for them. Nobody's ever going to think about those kinds of things. And all I'm doing is spending $25 on Starbucks through DoorDash to literally just have 5 minutes of their time.
Well, we're giving you an hour of our time and we didn't get any Starbucks or wine. It's a ripoff. Wait, I guess we're the ones interviewing you. Wait. Okay, we're the one interviewing you. Okay, we should have sent you Starbucks next time.
Every morning I wake up, I grab a cup of coffee, and I log into this one website, our business banking with Relay.
If you invest in real estate, manage short-term rentals for yourself or others, flip houses, or any type of business owner, you need banking that's truly built for your business. No more fees, no more minimum balances, no more remembering hundreds of different logins and passwords, and my goodness, no more bookkeeping problems come tax season. This is why we love using Relay, and you should too. Right now, they're giving away free money.
Relay is an online banking platform that's a perfect fit for your short-term rental business. You get as many accounts as you need to organize and allocate income from things like day-to-day expenses, investments, or taxes. And again, like Sarah said, those are all free. And it's never been easier to send payments to your cleaning team, your inspection team, plumber, electrician. You can have virtual and physical Visa debit cards. You can now earn up to 3% APY with Relay savings accounts. And also Relay is FDIC insured up to $2.5 million through their banking partner, Thread Bank.
It takes less than 10 minutes to apply online, and it's absolutely free. Plus, when you fund your new Relay account, Relay will add an additional $50 to your account. That is free money, hosts. So go grab the link in the show notes and sign up with Relay today. Love that idea. And you know what? And here's the thing, Jesse, that you're going to love about our audience is that we attract those who are in this for the long haul. They understand that it's not just about putting your property on a platform and expecting and having someone come and go and do nothing with it. Like Our listeners understand that they are running a business, and if they haven't started yet, they are open to the idea of, hey, this is going to take some work, but my gosh, is it rewarding? So I love that idea of calling these companies.
If you want to co-host for someone, if you want to hire someone, if you like want to buy a property, I think your hot tip there on sending Starbucks or lunch or something, because if someone says no to that, like, I mean, who's going to say no to
it? If they're not saying no, you're not asking enough people. So you want to expect to get no's, because if you just have that in your mind of that, okay, there's my no, maybe I'm reaching a threshold of asking to where like I'm actually making a difference. Because if everyone's just saying yes, you may not be asking enough people.
And there's a lot of rejection here. It's not like, and this is something that I really want everybody to understand, this is not like Airbnb where we just, like, there's no other business that you can take a photo of a room and put it on something and make money from it. There's literally nothing else like that out there right now where people can create a business. If you take the time to build something, like, we're actually creating our own house on our own land. We're not reliant on Airbnb. We're not reliant on Furnish Finder. We're not reliant on VRBO. Like, we're actually creating a business. And I think that's where the difference between Airbnb and a true midterm rental business is, we're actually creating our customers. We're creating the relationships. We're building those. And it's not easy. It takes time. I think when people watch what I do and how I talk about things, it sounds easy. But at the end of the day, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of sweat equity. It's a lot of rejection. It's a lot of cold calls. It's a lot of that stuff. But all you need is one relationship that can feed you forever. And there's other ways that you can build these, like, very easily, which I can talk about here in a minute. But I just want everybody to understand that it is not an easy thing to do, and it takes time. And you're probably thinking to yourself, I'm an introvert. I don't know how to talk to people. And this is probably not the best thing for me. It's not for everybody. But just to give context, like, I'm an introvert by nature. But I do love what I do, and I do love to be able to help people. And it's hospitality at the end of the day. And there's a book called Unreasonable Hospitality. I'm sure you all have heard of it. And it's about giving people more than they expect. And that's exactly what we're doing when we're talking to somebody on the other end of the line. And we're saying, hey, I got Starbucks for you. If you don't mind just getting on 5 minutes of your time, and I'm going to hook up your whole entire office. if you guys just can give me 5 minutes of your time. And a lot of times, most of the time, people will say like, cool, yeah, I'll do it. And that's all you need. And you need to have a real good understanding of what you're doing, because again, the space is not like traditional Airbnb and VRBO.
Let's talk about that a little bit, Jesse. What does a midterm rental guest want out of their stay that's different than what a short-term rental guest wants out of their stay?
Yeah, I love this question. So the first thing is, and you guys probably don't do this, but a lot of Airbnb investors will buy these like beautiful looking couches. It looks like a magazine when you open the door, but then you go sit on it and it feels like you're sitting on a piece of cardboard. It doesn't feel comfortable. It doesn't feel cozy. It looks really amazing, but it's not what it is. So most people that are in this space are living in these properties. So they need to feel those big plushy couches. They need to have super comfortable beds. If it's a travel nurse, you're going to want to have like blackout curtains because they sleep during the day. You know, they're working from 7 p.m. at night to 7 in the morning. If you're housing a relocation company, like a family that's lost their home due to a fire, flood, or some kind of catastrophic event, you want to think about what are they going to need? So it's all the essentials that somebody would need. It's big kitchen, a lot of stuff to cook, all those kinds of things, which again, with Airbnb, you want to have that stuff, but these people are living here for months at a time. It's not just the in and out kind of thing. So I think really thinking outside that 2-night stay, 3-night stay, and really what is going to make people most comfortable. Think about it. What is most comfortable for you in your own home? I think that's really the context to think about it. So again, the sexy furniture and all that stuff that looks cool might not necessarily work. The game rooms and all those things might not necessarily work for a midterm rental. You know what I mean? Cactus stuff that you have all over the place. Everybody's outdoing each other with themes right now. Like themes probably might not work in some of these places. So that's something to really think about.
I just heard in there, like I'm thinking through this, that sounds like a lot of your quote unquote guests, your tenants, they're not paying. Sounds like that, you know, an agency's paying, a company's paying, you know, an insurance company. If they're not responsible, really, they're not responsible for the property. How has it been with the way that they treat your property? Do you come in and do midterm cleans? I'm just wondering, to me, it doesn't sound like they really have any skin in the game because they're not the ones that are signing the contracts or are paying the bill at the end of the day. So how has that been working for you over all this time?
I'll lead with this, that I've had more issues with my Airbnbs than I've had with my midterm rental guests. Again, they're living in these properties. Yeah, you're right. A lot of times the agencies are paying. And you're going to have normal wear and tear that you would have if somebody lives in a property, but it's nothing like what you typically have from a long-term renter. The folks that have long-term rentals, it's not like that. You're not having to go and do new baseboards, things like that, new carpets. These folks, if they're traveling, they're on assignment, so they're working a lot of the time. If it's a family that's relocated, you know, we'll do monthly cleanings. We'll go in there and actually our cleaning crew will do a deep clean monthly, so we know what's going on. Eyes and ears are on the property. And a lot of times these agencies are actually the lessees on these properties. So if they do screw it up or they do mess it up, guess who's paying? The agency. Mm-hmm. And these are like multi-million-dollar agencies. It's not some family that lost their property and whatnot. So it's just a totally different thing, a totally different type of client. And again, granted, I have had a couple people that brought pets and they chewed the side of the freaking door jams and crap like that. Like that's going to happen. That's just the nature of this business. You're going to have those kinds of things that happen. But it's not like my Airbnb guests. I just put out a YouTube video not too long ago. This family stayed at my home and they literally stole like rollaway beds, like literally all these things in my property. And they're on camera and they just walk out with it. You don't have that kind of stuff with the midterm rental guests. At least I haven't had that yet. I'm knocking on wood right now because I think there's a first time for everything.
How do you compete? Like I know here in Columbus, Ohio, there are so many quote unquote, I mean, they've been doing it for decades, corporate housing. If I go to the Googles here and I type in midterm rental, corporate housing, we're going to get crushed. Like, we're not going to show up. They are just companies that have been doing this for decades. How do we get into the game, though, when there's just like this, like so many others that are out there?
Yeah, you got to compete. Again, I think with areas like you guys are in, you're going to have a lot of competitors. And again, it goes back to how do we solve problems? What those agencies are doing, they're solving problems. And they're doing it on large scale. So how do I create a relationship with this company? How am I able to solve some of their problems they're having? What questions can I ask to uncover those problems? So those are all important things you got to ask. And I think when you're in busy markets like that, again, those relationships are going to serve you so much more than you can believe. And again, it's just having those conversations. A lot of times those corporate companies have like small little one bedrooms or not the studios. They might not have 3 bedrooms or 2 baths or a 4-bedroom or something like that. So usually those corporate company contracts are like corporate housing companies are small. They're only doing individual small units, not big ones, usually like apartments or smaller units. So if you have a single family home, you have more opportunity there on that end to do more.
Can we, and to be fair, listeners, I didn't ask Jesse before he hopped on the mic about this, but I want to talk a little bit about legality in terms of hosting someone for more than 28 days, which in a lot of states, that turns them into a tenant and they are no longer a guest. So if someone's listening right now and they're a co-host and they're really in that gray area of, well, you know, it's not, they're not a tenant. There is no lease in place, right? There's a short stay. When people come into your world and they want to do this for a home that they don't own, what can you offer our listeners they need to be aware of?
Yeah, well, again, going back to what we talked about earlier, I think a lot of these folks are on assignment. I don't think I know, like they're on assignment. They're not going to, there's no reason for them not to leave. And I think that's one of the things that you have to look at. When I have a travel nurse, we'll ask for their first page of their assignment. So it'll actually show us like what assignment they're at, where they're going to, how long they're there for. If it's a corporate company that I'm talking to, they're, you know, a family that loses their home, they're giving me all their information. The agency's a leasee. So it's just a different type of clientele. If you're booking somebody on like Furnish Finder, where you have to put a lease together, obviously you want a background check, you want a screen, you want to do all those things. But again, this is another reason why I like to go after these agencies, because I sleep better at night knowing that these agencies are the leasees. And if somebody decides to stay there for 6 months and not leave, this agency's got to pay. It's on our lease. That's what they're doing. There's a letter of responsibility that states that they're going to cover it no matter what. But that's a good question. I also want people to realize this does happen, but it's something that you have to make sure that you screen people the right way. The same way you would with Airbnb, you just like do that a little bit further. You go a little bit further than that. There's companies like Avail and KeyCheck that allow you to do that, where you can see what people's credit history is, if they've had any payments that weren't paid. So again, I think that, again, this is something that people bring up all the time, but for me, I don't feel nervous about it because of the route that I typically go.
What about fair housing laws too? Like this, that is one reason like long-term rentals do. I have a friend that is in long-term rentals, and like there is so many things that you need to take into account. Where does that line start to get like gray? Not that I wouldn't want to participate in that, but again, like Sarah said, it's like this whole crossover, is it worth it? Because when is it fair housing, or is it you're just working with, let's say you're only working with agencies, does that make you not a part of fair housing because you're keeping your property only for the agencies? I don't know if that question makes sense, but like, how do you make sure that you are giving the housing to anyone that is like wanting it? You know, like are only the agencies aware of it, I guess is my question there.
Yeah, the agencies are aware of it. My attorney drafted something out a while ago. We're in California, so we have to mitigate all these issues. And I wish I had it in front of me right now to pull up and talk about, because we talked about that for a minute. But the way that we're kind of structured, our bones of the structure, is that we are a corporate entity that handles corporate contracts. So typically we're considered a commercial type unit, as opposed to like, I forget exactly the verbiage that he had, but, and I wish I can have him on here so he can explain it way better than what I'm doing right now. But it protected us in a sense that we're essentially operating legally through a corporate entity that was only housing these individuals through corporate contracts.
Okay. So it's not, it's quote unquote, not residential housing at all.
It's residential housing in a residential area, but the way we have it structured is not that way. Yeah.
Right. Like you don't have to, it's not offered to everyone.
This is why when it's over 28 days, I think it's even more important to make sure you do involve an attorney. And listeners, whether or not you've engaged with a property manager or co-host, this is where limitations can come in too. If there needs to be a lease in place, or if you're collecting security deposits, like anything like that, depending on how it's structured, like if it's with the corporate entity or if it's with the nurse themselves, the professional themselves, just making sure you can do that. You know what I mean? Like I actually just had a conversation with a friend of mine who is a realtor, but her office does not support property management. She can't do leases, you know? And so for someone who doesn't own the home. And so that's why I think it's very important of, you don't have to do all of the, it just depends on what state you're in and what your situation is. And just to make sure that you're on the up and up, because fair housing and all these things exist for a reason. And you just want to make sure that you're complying depending on where you're at.
Totally agree. Yeah. And again, always involve attorneys and just get that first connection with them. And it's not super expensive. You can just connect with somebody locally for a couple $100 an hour just to kind of understand what the legalities are in your market. But again, it's so different depending on the states. Everywhere is so different. But yeah, you definitely want to protect yourself, because again, if you're just dealing with the clients individually, you're a little bit more exposed that way. But also, I don't want people to be scared of not being able to do this, because what if somebody's going to squat at my house? There's always that what if, and it's great to think about those things. But in reality, if you're screening the right way, you probably won't have those things that happen.
I was on your website before the show and very honest in there of like, hey, there's going to be a lot of work that needs to be put in.
be ready for some rejections and objections. And there was a stat on there that was very, very shiny, and I loved it. But I have to just ask, how is this true? You were like, could you imagine only having 4 guests a year? Because if you have 4 guests a year staying for, 90 days each, you're pretty much good to go. Jesse, how in the world? Please tell me how I'm going to find these 4 perfect guests that are going to have the same exact schedule, and one is going to check out and then the next one is going to check in. That is where, help me with getting that scheduling down, because that was where I was like, I'm asking him this question because I love that. I love 4 guests, but I don't know how I'm going to find 4 guests that are going to stay. These perfect check-in and check-out are just going to line up perfectly. Yeah.
There's never going to be a perfect alignment. So I'll be the first to admit that. And I think that people...
So was it 5 guests? Did you lie? I'm just joking.
No, I don't lie. And I think you have the short-term rental Airbnb brain going right now. The short-term rental.
I totally do.
And I think that's where the difference when I said going all in is, because it's a totally different setup. Right now, I mentioned you guys, I've had a guest staying with me for... They've extended. It's a year. We're like a year and 4 months in with them already. They're scheduled to move out next month. But yeah, I've had people that stay with me for 6 months. I've literally only had 2 guests an entire year. So these things are going to happen. You're going to have people moving in and out. But as we talked about before, when you start building these relationships, like I'll have Michael from AMN that'll reach out to me and say, hey, Jess, I know that we have a client in there. They're going to be moving out August 19th. I got another one that's going to be coming in September 1st. So I'll now have that 2-week vacancy. And I like my properties to breathe. Like I really, truly believe that. I enjoy it because we can go in there and do maintenance, take care of these things, let them breathe a little bit. So, our vacancy over the last year has been 13%, which is pretty freaking amazing. And again, I think it's that concept of you're not going to have that when you first start, but as you start building more relationships with different companies, they're going to come to you and say, hey, Annette, what do you have available at this time? I know that we have this client that's moving out. I got another set of nurses that are coming at this time. So once you get that time and that energy spent in those spaces, you now built relationships that are going to serve you. They're going to be sending you dates and things that work, and you get to choose which one you want to have. But again, I think most people have that Airbnb brain where they're just like, I might only have people here and then we're going to be blank for a while. And you're always going to have that vacancy. You're always going to have that to a certain degree. But, if things align perfectly, you might have only 4 guests. If you're going after travel nursing agencies, there's a pretty good likelihood that you're going to have 4 guests. If you're going after these relocation claims, you might have 5 guests and they're staying a month at a time. Then you get another one for 3 months, you get another for 3 months, and then you get one for 2 months or 3 months. So there's variability with all that stuff. But again, we're able to sustain those drops because we're getting paid so much more in this space. And I think that's where people need to understand is like, with an insurance claim, we're making $7,000-$8,000 a claim for a $2,000 house. We're making these exaggerated amount of income because we're taking the risk. And even Airbnb operators, we're taking the risk of vacancy when most operators that are traditional landlords don't want to do that. They want a traditional old school lease. It's going to give me 1 year. I'm going to get paid this X amount and that's it. So everybody, like if we can have that context and that idea that we're making this amount of money based off of the potential of vacancy. That's why these short-term rental, mid-term rental operators are making so much, because it's a risk at the end of the day.
No, I like that you mentioned the risk involved. And so I think that's where our listeners have to know their risk tolerance and what they're going to do. I want to know, my last question is, as fully you're all in mid-term rentals, what do you offer your guests as like a starter pack for mid-term rentals? I've always kind of wondered, is it 2 weeks worth? Because they are paying like a high amount of money. So are you like, you go to Costco and you've got a full thing of toilet paper, paper towels? What are you supplying? Trash bags or coffee? I know that, sometimes that's interesting with guests. So what do you offer your guests when they're moving in for a midterm rental?
Great question. And I've studied this over the last 8 years. I will leave stuff for these guests and they, after they move out after 3 months, guess what's still there?
It's all of it. It's all still there.
It's all still there.
And this they don't use any of it?
Yeah, this is the cool thing about this is that
they don't use toilet paper in 3 months. No one uses.
We have bidets. We have tissues in every single one of our units. You guys need to update, get some tissues going. Those are amazing. For those of you that are not bidet lovers, like
tissues.
Try it one time. You will love it.
I know. It's like a machine. Yeah.
Bedazzle it, Sarah. Come on. What's going on right now? Just bedazzle the bidet. I mean, come on. That's all you got to do.
No, next year, can we please do like a collaboration where we have a bedazzling competition.
I think we should do that.
So yours is what do you do when it comes to linens and towels?
Yeah. All those stay there. We have a linen company that will come in. We'll clean those things once a month. We'll come in and do a deep cleaning, but we're not. So toilet paper, we're going to leave that. That's an essential, but what I've noticed over the years is any soaps, any detergents you leave, people are so accustomed to what they're using, they're not going to use your stuff. If it's Head and Shoulders that you have in there, they're going to be like, I don't like that. I'm going to use this. This is what they use. So we normally will only have probably about 2-3 weeks worth of those things in there, and then they'll bring their own stuff. And again, this is like years and years of experience and just seeing the same things that are not being used and not used. So for us, like, I just came to the terms where we're just like, hey, and that's the other thing that's different from short term is that we're not having to replace those things all the time. That gives us a lot more, you know, we're saving on you know, costs on that end. Because people bring their own stuff.
Jesse, we're midterm dabblers. So what question have we not asked you that you think we should ask or our listeners should know about midterm stays?
I think you haven't asked me like, well, what's one of the easiest ways to get a contract? You haven't asked that.
What's the easiest way to get it? I would assume just cold calling and inviting them to join you for a Zoom call with coffee. Is there an easier way?
Well, we got that too. But okay, so you guys are familiar with Extended Stay America hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you guys have those in your backyard?
We do. Oh, is this a flyer tip?
This is a drive by there like a creeper at 7 p.m. at night and take a picture of every single work truck that's out there.
Ooh, and call them. Okay.
And then you get there in the morning. This goes back to the same context we were talking about earlier. So you would just call, let's just say it's like a company that has out-of-state plates. Let me give you an example real quick of what I did. They were building a Dave & Buster's. You guys know what Dave & Buster's, like the adult playground, video games and stuff like that, arcades. They were building one of those from the ground up. There was a truck that had Alabama plates. I drove by it. I saw that. And I was like, well, that's kind of weird. Alabama truck here. Took a picture of it, called the company the next day. They ended up, just like I was talking about earlier, they ended up having five guys that were staying at a Holiday Inn Express. They were all engineers. I looked up how much Holiday Express was. It was $196 a night. Do the math on that again. And I said, hey, I have a 5-bedroom house. We can house all the folks that are staying here at this place. It's literally 0.2 of a mile away from the job site. And I talked to the agency about it. And there was literally, we're going to save them thousands of dollars. They stayed at our home for $9,000 a month. We saved them over $15,000 because they were paying so much. And again, this is a smaller independent company that just, this is what they do. They go to these Dave and Buster's all over the place. And it was literally just by me driving by, turning around like a weirdo, taking a picture of the truck, and then calling the company in the day, like, oh, how am I able to solve problems? How can I make them have an exceptional stay? It's literally right around the corner from the job site, and we're going to save them money. So like, if you can just have that in your back of your mind, like these opportunities are everywhere, and it's just up to us to take advantage of them. Same thing, same concept, Sarah, when we creep out and drive by those extended stay hotels, you're literally just driving, doing the same thing, taking pictures. Instead of driving for dollars, we're driving for contracts. So you make those same calls. And again, the goal is to save money for these companies. How do we do that? You might have a 5-bedroom house that can house, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys. And then all of a sudden, there you go. There's another opportunity. And that's probably by far one of the easiest ways, if you think about it, on how to build a midterm rental business.
No, you're taking work off of their plate. Like if someone, like every now, I'm sure everyone, like I, every now and then I'll pick up my phone. I have no idea why, or I open an email and it's right time, right person, and it clicks. And also, Sarah, I do this for cleaners. I will stop cleaners in their car if it has it. I will take pictures. If you could go through Sarah's text messages where I'm just like, I see a car outside of someone's house and we have a file of like, hey, here's like potential people that could clean in the future because you never know. But so we do that same type of thing, sourcing other things, not so much midterm stays.
Here's my question, Jesse. When it comes to, yes, we're solving a solution for the agency, but how do these engineers, just as a hypothetical engineer scenario, how do they feel about getting their own hotel room and then being put into a home? And are there any legalities around putting that many different individuals in a home for a longer period of time?
Yeah, I've never had any issues with people staying together. In fact, I've talked to these guys myself and they're just like, look, I'd rather be in our own place where we can make our own meals, create our own stuff. We're all together anyway. So a lot of these folks are used to being together. In fact, one of the guys was telling me how they had conjoined rooms and all the guys would just open their rooms and like mingle between each other. I think it's like a construction frat house, basically. Granted, when you do get these guys, some of them do party and they do leave beer cans and stuff all over the place. But then again, these guys are also working like tremendous long hours. In fact, the last guys that we had in our property, they would leave at 4 a.m. and literally not get home. But you'll have people that literally leave at 4 a.m., come back at 7 p.m. at night. They're just sleeping, getting back up, doing the same thing. So again, it's just, I've never had any of those issues. I've never had anybody complain about it. And again, at the end of the day, these companies are saving money. And that's the goal, is like, how do we have them? They don't care how those guys feel about, you know, sharing rooms. They're just like, hey, we got a cheaper place. You're going to have to move out of there, buddy.
And I think a lot of them are, like you were saying, like they're smaller businesses. So they understand like, hey, if I can save the company money, that's going to be a larger bonus for me, or we're going to continue to get contracts if we're here together and saving the company money. They're probably very in line with the bottom line on what's going on with everything. So it sounds like when we came into this episode, we were trying to wear multiple hats. I was at least trying to wear a short-term hat with how can you intertwine midterm. But your message is, in order to, and I think it's focus like anything else, is like if you're going to do, you got to be the best at one thing. So your advice, Jesse, I think over this whole entire episode is that if someone is choosing to do midterm rentals, that if they want to do it relationship-based, contract-based, then they need to go all in on it.
Yeah, 100%. Like you have to go all in. You have to understand what's happening in your market. Keep your ear to the ground on what's happening in the market. Talk to clinicians that are coming in. Talk to people on Furnish Finder. There's unmatched leads that are on Furnish Finder, which are people that are searching for properties and they might not necessarily be booking your place, but just pick up the phone and dial them and say, hey, I'm a housing solutions provider. Here's my website. What agency do you work with? What company do you work for? If you don't mind sharing me some of this information, I just want to make sure that, you know, your stay is comfortable and, you know, we're basically taking audit on what we could do in these markets. And I think that's a really good, efficient, easy way to start. You don't have to spend any money doing that other than getting the Furnish Finder account. But again, it's just thinking in a different way, thinking outside the box. And I think that as real estate becomes a little more difficult, especially with the rates being as high as they are, we have to think of creative ways to be better at what we're doing. And this is definitely a creative way, and it takes more energy and time. But once you build a Rolodex and you build longevity in the space and you build a long roadway, which is by building relationships, and it doesn't happen overnight. But once you do this, you can make way more money than you do even in the short-term rental space. And right now, we have a pretty good amount of properties that we're doing very well in. And we're co-hosting other people's properties doing the same thing. And it's just a good space. Not a lot of people are thinking about it in this context.
Awesome. Jesse, where can our listeners find out more about you?
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Instagram at The Real Jesse Vasquez, or on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel, and that's at The Real Jesse Vasquez as well.
Thank you so much for your time and your expertise. Listeners, will put a ton of information about Jesse in our show notes. And again, the reason why we've asked Jesse to come on today, because he is all midterm all the time. And it's great to learn from people who, what they focus on expands. And so we really appreciate your expertise. With that, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant. And together we are
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week.